Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. We are live today at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians. First pitch, 6:35, and yours truly is throwing out the first pitch today, which I am very, very, very excited about. By the way, Ian, you will be surprised to learn that the Caleb Williams carrying a purse discussion has absolutely blown up the text.
No, boy.
And the amount of political ideology takes that are surrounding Caleb Williams' purse, like, guys, this has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with a quarterback carrying a purse, and I'll leave it at that. So today out on the practice field, I thought it was a kind of a so-so day, you know, a little good from the offense here, a little bad there. Harold Landry had back-to-back sacks at one point against Nicholas Petitfrère, a.k.a.
PT.
I watched the big boys in one-on-ones, and I saw each quarterback threw an interception today. Levis in the 7-on-7. There was, I believe, a defensive lineman picked off. Mason Rudolph, and then Malik threw an interception on the third string, and all I know is Derek was standing next to me and said, oh my God, they baited him into that, and he did. Oh, goodness gracious. Anywho, there was a so-so practice. But there are a couple of things that I'm a little nervous about, I'm a little worried about, and then I listened to Brian Callahan talk today, and what came out of his mouth, or the feelings that I feel like he portrayed, are very different than the feelings that I have. The first, let's start with the right side of the offensive line, which right now is Dylan Radins and PT. And so far, you know, they've had some good moments, but for the most part, PT the last couple of days has been worked pretty hard by Harold Landry. Here's what Brian Callahan said.
What do you feel like the right side of the line is right now? Are you happy with where they are, or do you want some more improvement?
I think I'm content with what we've seen so far, but I think we need to see more improvement too. I think it's twofold. I think Nick, coming off the a long layoff from the spring into now, has done a nice job. I think he's continuing to get better. He missed a ton of work in the offseason technique-wise that he's sort of catching up to. He's done a nice job, but I think we still need to get better there. I think Dylan stepped in and done a nice job, but you know, I think the O-line as a whole, I think there's always room for that improvement, and those guys on the right side are no different than the left side. There's still plenty of things that JC's got to get better at as a rookie, so I don't want to single one side out over the other, and I think there's plenty of room for improvement across the board. With that being said, I am pleased with the progress we've made and where we're at with some time to go still, so that's a good thing.
Okay. I'm not sure I agree with that. You know, Radins had an okay practice today, and there was one play in particular where he stood up to Tavondre Sweat and anchored his tush down, which, given the size of the tush of Tavondre Sweat, that's pretty hard to do. So I'll give him credit there. But yesterday, there were a couple of right side mishaps that led to either sacks or pressures. One that ended a drive where Radins picked up his guy, Tony Pollard picked up his guy, but Harold Landry was able to beat PT off the edge and force a bad throw from Will Levis that ended a drive. And then today, there were back-to-back sacks where PT got beat by Harold Landry, and Harold Landry got to the quarterback. And I like Harold Landry, and Harold Landry is a very good player. But Harold Landry is not a sack per series kind of guy, right? He's not that guy. So when Landry's getting to the quarterback with ease, it's concerning. To me, Saturday is a big day for those two, specifically Radins, because I think it would be easier to replace him. Brunskill is already on the roster. He has started at right guard. And then on top of it, people just don't release good tackles. Whereas, you know, guards, we saw Josh Klein get released and he ended up being a 3 or 4 year starter. So I'm not sure that I agree with his assessment of the right side of the line. Again, I asked him, I said, you happy where it's at? Do you want to see more improvement? And of course, every coach is going to say, I want to see more improvement. That's not a surprise. But as far as the, hey, I'm content with where they're at, I mean, maybe he's content with seeing how they do on Saturday and going from there, but I am not content with the right side of the offensive line. And even though it's the GM's birthday today, do not make me tell that right tackle story. The other pertains to somebody on the left side of the line that, again, I'm just not sure I agree with.
Specifically with, though, like Peter Skoronski, who, mm-hmm. when you don't talk about him a lot, maybe that's a good thing, and he seems to have taken a next step this year, and he says he feels good with the weight he's put on, too.
Yeah, he looks really good. He's had a really nice camp so far. I've been very pleased with where he's at. Again, there's plenty of things that technique-wise that he can keep getting better at, but what he's shown so far is what I would have expected for a player of his caliber. And he's settled in pretty nicely. He's starting to get more and more comfortable within the scheme, within the techniques, and that part's been good to see. I think his size looks good. He looks strong. He's powerful. So I'm pleased with where he's at.
Not sure I see what he's talking about when it comes to Skoronski. For instance, in my notes today, when they got into team period, first and 10, I said that Spears had a nice run, but I put in my notes that Tavondre Sweat would have had him in the backfield. Second down and 9, they threw a screen, and PT got blown up, and 77 doesn't get out to get a block, so they don't really do much. And then third and long, Sweat was on the field on third and long, which is good. He beat Cushenberry to collapse the pocket, and Levis scrambled for a first down. So, again, not a lot bad, but there was one where Skoronski didn't get out to his guy. Then when they went in the one-on-ones, I mean, Skoronski got turnstiled by some guy. I don't even know who it is. Like number 60. I'm like, who is that guy that just, again, turned Peter around? And then, again, I mean, at one point in the drill, they're doing the one-on-one. So they've got five guys lined up like the offensive line, and they got four guys lined up like the defense. And then Bill Callahan goes, ready, set, go. And then, you know, depending on if he puts one finger up or two fingers up or whatever, the defensive guy doesn't know the snap count. The offensive guy knows the snap count because Bill's putting the fingers up. So, you know, ready, set. And then the guy goes, and they're one-on-one offensive lineman versus defensive lineman. And in the one-on-ones, when Peter was off, and Peter, I've seen a lot at training camp, a lot of huffing and puffing with Skoronski. Not to say that these practices aren't hard, but more so than the other guys. Like, I'm looking at Skoronski. I know they're putting weight on him, so I wonder if that's part of it. But I'm like, dude, are you in shape? And then today, while all the other offensive linemen that weren't standing in the five were off, they were all standing on 2 feet, helmets on. Skoronski was the one guy on a knee. Like, he had to get on a knee, take his helmet off. And I mean, he was just gassed. And then at one point, Bill Callahan says, I need a guard. I need a guard. And so Peter, it's like, he looked around, was like, okay, I guess I got to go. I'm a guard. Peter got there. And when he got there, Bill Callahan had some choice words for him. And so what I'm seeing out of Skoronski is more of the same last year that I saw. And I'm like, when you're a guard drafted with the 11th overall pick, you ought to be dominating. You got to go right to the Pro Bowl and then right to the Hall of Fame. What I'm seeing out of Skoronski, what I saw last year, what I want to see is the offensive version of what I'm seeing out of Tavondre Sweat. And then Brian Callahan's asked about it, and basically his answer is the exact opposite. And I'm not saying he's lying. I'm not saying he's making things up. I'm just saying right now what I've seen and what he's seen, I see it differently. I don't see the same things he sees with Skoronski or the right side of the line. That being said, I do think it is important to note that Brian Callahan has resources in this that I don't have. Number one, he's got replay. They tape every rep, and he can pull it up on his laptop right then and there, and he can watch any rep at any time. I don't have access to that. So when I see Peter get turnstiled, maybe it was a great technique by the defensive lineman. I don't know. But he can watch every rep 100 times. I only get to see it once in lifetime. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I don't have the luxury of Bill Callahan, who is coaching him, who's also coming in my office and saying, son, I like this, I like this, I like this, and I like this. If Bill Callahan told me after today's practice, Jared, you don't understand, Peter is actually having a great training camp and here's why, I probably would listen to that. If Bill Callahan were to say, hey, the guys on the right side, like, they're coming along because PT, you know, missed that technique work in the offseason when everybody said it didn't matter except for you, Jared. But he missed that, and so he's coming along, and so this is going to be a big game for him, but we want to bank these reps, but he'll be okay. Just trust me. I probably would. And let's also not kid ourselves. From an educational standpoint, Brian Callahan knows a lot more about offensive line play than I do. Brian Callahan also knows a lot more about what they're asking these guys to do than I do, since he's the one who's asking them to do it. Whereas I probably know more about talk radio than Brian Callahan does. But I heard those two things today in practice, and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that, but maybe I'm wrong. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And I will say this. There is something about the fabric of the Tennessee Titans. I don't know what it is. I think there is something with the fabric of the Tennessee Titans that, if they're smart, will continue as much as some fans don't want it to. And I have just, today, that was my biggest takeaway from practice. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
You made a comment over the weekend about how this team will run the football. Mm-hmm. And with the two different running backs that you have, as opposed to giving it to one guy 28 times, how do you envision getting both backs in rhythm so that you can continuously run the football the way you want?
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally speaking, you try to find, you know, when you go into a game, you highlight a handful of plays that they like. You know, they're both different style runners. Tajay has plays that he likes. Tony has plays that he likes. And so you sort of star those plays and you put their names on them. And so when you call those, you make sure that they get those carries that they feel good about. So that's how you naturally split the labor in the running back room. And then sometimes when a guy starts feeling it, you can see a guy feel it, you just keep giving it to him. You know, keep giving him opportunities to carry it. We're going to use those guys plenty all across the formation in the pass game and in the run game. So they're fun tools to have. Because they can do so many different things. But the biggest key is just making sure that you get them the run, especially early in the game, that you divide it up the way that they feel good and you kind of see who gets hot. You can stick with a hot hand or you can just stay with your rotation as far as the runs that they've sort of selected and we've talked about as the ones being their comfort zone for the running back. So that's probably the best way I can explain that process.
Okay, the two running backs both had touchdowns today out at training camp. And it's like Brian Callahan said on NFL Network over the weekend, like, I just want everybody to know we're going to run the football. Like, running the ball is going to be a big part of this team. And he's talking about the two different guys to be able to run it. And, hey, we're going to use both guys. We're going to use them over multiple formations. And we're going to – and my big takeaway from practice today, from being out there on the field and watching the struggles of the right side of the line for a second day in a row, watching, you know, PT – struggle with Harold Landry for the second day in a row and, you know, trying to watch Tavondre Sweat and how he just, again, just collapses the pocket every time. And I'm looking at the young quarterback and I'm thinking about, you know, when this is a game and he gets hit, what do we make? What do we? And my big takeaway was this team needs to run the ball. This team has two guys that are capable of being, I think they're capable of being number one running backs in the NFL. In Spears and Pollard. I think they're both capable. Now, are they capable of being the first team All-Pro Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb type running? Probably not. But is one of those guys capable of being a bell cow? Yeah, I think so. Probably Pollard. This team needs to run the ball. And I know Titan fans don't want to hear it. Just like I know Titan fans, when I'm sitting there looking at Peter Skoronski and thinking like, man, he's all down on a knee and he's, you know, basically gasping for air and he's like, is Peter in shape? I know Titan fans don't want to hear that. They want to hear Brian Callahan talk about he's had a great camp and he's really worked hard on the techniques and we're really proud about where he's at. And that's what they want to hear. Titans fans want to think about this team with their young quarterback, with a rocket launcher of a right arm, with DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd and everything else, they want to think this is going to be a pass-happy team. I do not think it should be. And I don't know where Brian Callahan's head is as far as, you know, run versus pass. I asked him today, Ian, if you could, about kind of the difference, you know, in an ideal world, how much do you want to run it versus how much do you want to pass it? Which, again, ideal is not always what you get in the NFL, but here's what Brian Callahan said about that.
Ideally, what percentage would you want in a perfect world of the mix between run and pass?
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like to be probably right around 50-50. It's usually not the case, you know, down and distance-wise and all that stuff. But, yeah, that's probably the ideal. You hope to be able to marry your play-action game with your run game well enough so that teams don't really know what's coming. That can go by formation, under center, in the gun, however that looks, to make sure that we're marrying up our action game, our naked game, our boot game, and our screen game with the run game, so you kind of package it all together. You know, the reality of it is that, you know, you get into spots where we're throwing the ball is a little more advantageous, and so you're going to get to places where it might be more 60-40, depending on the game. But the perfect world, ideal world, you'd love to be right around 50-50, so a defense doesn't necessarily know exactly what you're going to do in what situation.
Okay, and I get it. But I don't know, given this offensive line, I don't know if that's the best idea. And the other reason why I would be very, very hesitant to get away from running the football is because time of possession is going to be massively important for this team. Now, you can be a passing team and still win time of possession. You just have to convert a lot of third downs, you know, and you just can't score in three plays. If you were to move down the field and you were to, you know, 8 yards here, 4 yards here, 6 yards here, 6 yards here, 8 yards here, 2 yards here, 4 yards there, 7 yards there, like, you would be able to have a drive throwing the football and still eat up some clock. But time of possession is going to be massively important with this team because their two best players on defense, minus Legarius Sneed, which we don't know about because Sneed doesn't practice because of the knees, their two best players on defense are defensive linemen in T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, and those guys can't play every snap. So if you ask Simmons to play 35 minutes, and again, he won't play every snap, but every time he goes off the field, that's a check for the offense because now Aaron Rodgers is out there and says, okay, I don't have to worry about Jeffrey Simmons on this play. So I want Simmons to play more plays. Well, in order to do that, you need to lower the time of possession, let those guys sit out there in the shade on the bench and drink Gatorade and then get out there. In order to do that, you're probably better off running the football. Like, it is what it is. But I know that when you hire a guru coach with a young quarterback that's got the cannon that he has, fans are going to, we got to throw the ball, Jared. We've got to. We need to be like the Rams. We need to be like the Chiefs. We need to be like the... It's okay. It's okay to run the ball. Even if you don't have Derrick Henry, it's okay to run the ball. Josh Allen's rookie year. And again, you are building Will Levis up. He is not a finished product. He is not ready to be a force multiplier. If he's ever going to be one, he's not ready now. Josh Allen's rookie year, 2018, Buffalo, 31st in passing, 6th in rushing attempts. 2019, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson's first year. And this again, with Lamar Jackson, this was the year that he was the unanimous MVP. 27th in pass attempts, 1st in rushing. Even last year, the Texans, 12th in passing attempts, 20th in rushing attempts, which to me was a lot about who they had to catch the football and the fact that they had a $30 million left tackle and they signed a right tackle and they had a $12 million guard and all these different things that you don't have with you running Dylan Raidens out there. So I understand everybody wants to throw the ball. Everybody wants to be the Chiefs. Everybody, Will Levis is not ready for that. This offensive line is not ready for that. Maybe Bill Callahan coaches them up, but if that's the case, it's going to take some time. So with these two running backs, again, both of whom scored touchdowns today with some beautiful counters. You know, a little jump cut from both guys. They ended up, you know, just exploding into the end zone for touchdown. They need to have the ball in their hands. You need to run the football. And then you need to let the run set up the pass and set up the play action. And from there, I think you're giving Levis a shot.
Part of me would be a little bit disappointed. Sorry to cut you off there. Would be a little bit disappointed if they didn't run the ball, given what they have put in the resources for that position with Pollard and Spears.
I mean, if you draft a running back in the third round, he needs to be your starter. And if you sign a running back for $8 million, he needs to run the football.
So, I mean, I know
Derrick Henry's making the same amount of money.
And I know that, you know, they put in money for Ridley and Boyd and stuff too. But, you know, if you're going to put that much into the backfield, like, you want to use it.
I don't disagree. And if you're going to put, if you're going to sign a second running back for $8 million and not sign a tackle, Jermaine Illuminor made $7 million. And I don't think Illuminor is the greatest tackle in the league, but he's probably better than PT. If you're going to do that, you need to use him. So my big takeaway from camp today was, I hope this team commits to running the football, even though I know every single one of you that's going to buy Madden football and is going to play with the Titans, you're going to go out there and you're going to throw it 50 times a game. And I don't think that's the solution for them to find ways to win. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in, so we will get to your phones here on the program. And there was one thing D. May said today that I heard, and I thought to myself, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, he is so right. And maybe the Titans will be right about it. Maybe not, but we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company live from First Horizon Park, 102.5, 106 for the game.
Specifically with kind of the two new guys now on the first group on the offensive line on the right side, is there a chemistry between the quarterback and the line the way that there is a chemistry between the quarterback and the pass catchers?
Yes, I'd say so to a certain extent. It's knowing your strengths and weaknesses of your guys. I think I could point to a couple things of just knowing maybe where it's more so based on the defense and what their moves are and the kind of pressures that we're expecting and pass rush moves as to where they potentially could get, you know, lose some leverage, and that could affect where, you know, our escape pattern is or where our movement in the pocket could be. But I don't think that there is as much as a technical chemistry as there is with the guys you have to have outside, just with how precise a lot of those throws have to be. But it's more of a feel thing. You're not really looking at the guy. Obviously, it's feeling where he is in space and being able to move off of that and have comfortability to move in any direction regardless of what happens.
That was Will Levis yesterday, and it's funny because I hear that and it's almost like, yes, there is a need for chemistry, but I just need them to block. Like, I just need to just hold up. Just give me a chance. Just try. You know, there's an NFL Films video from 2000, and the Titans were playing Kansas City at home, and Steve McNair got knocked out of the game, and Neil O'Donnell had to come back in and lead them back, and then he ends up winning in overtime. And in the NFL Films video of the game, you know, the inside the NFL breakdown, they had the sideline mic'd up or O'Donnell mic'd up or something, and he comes back to the offensive line after they score a touchdown. He goes, just give me time and I will pick them apart. Just give me time. And he's telling each guy, just give me time. Just give me time. It's all he's asking for. And I think there's probably something to Levis, you know, probably feeling the same way. And as a Titan fan, I am looking at those guys, specifically the right side, Raidens and PT, and thinking, just give him time. Just give him time. So today, the midday show had Jonathan Hutton on. And Derek went on a little mini rant in a question that he had for Hutton that I'm not really sure was a question, but it was a question. And it's something that I have been saying for months. And it's not bothering me as much now as it did then, but it is bothering me. And I'm glad somebody else noticed. Here's what D-May said today.
I'm starting to get a little, I don't want to use worried, but I'm just starting to hesitate just a tad bit.
In what way?
With the injuries or the management. I forgot who I was talking to someone on the sideline today. And I said, how do you – I've never – like, I don't come from a world where you're managing a 27, 28-year-old individual so he can make it to the season. And then you got another guy that is dealing with a hamstring or some type of soft tissue injury in Awuzie. To me, there are a lot of we hope this hit because if it hits, then we're great. But if it doesn't hit, man, we're going to be setting ourselves back.
And if you have
back.
Too long of a list yeah, of that, they're not all going to hit.
We're setting ourselves back. You got guys that you're depending on that are either injured or you're managing them so they won't get injured.
He's talking about Jamal Adams, and he's talking about the secondary and how L'Jarius Sneed doesn't practice and Shadobia Awuzie hasn't practiced. And he's talking, too, about right guard, right tackle. Like, I'm hoping it works out with PT. And what did Caroline call the spring? She says it'll be fine season, where Nicholas Petit-Frere doesn't practice at all. During the offseason, the Titans go through, you know, we went into this. We always talk about team needs. Titans go into free agency. They sign a bunch of receivers and they sign a running back and they sign a center and they sign a couple of corners. And it's like, well, you need a left tackle. You need a right guard. You need a right tackle. You need a, and so the Titans spent a bunch of money. They didn't spend as much as everybody gives them credit for, but they did spend a lot of money. So they spend a bunch of money, and all of a sudden, it's like, we're going to be great, Jared. And I'm like, you don't have a right tackle. And I remember when I said that during free agency, it's only March. The draft hasn't happened yet, Jared. There will be other guys that they sign. It will be fine, Jared. It will be fine. Again, because it'll be fine season. That's, I guess, how it goes during it'll be fine season. So again, during it'll be fine season, everybody said, well, you know, hey, we still haven't gotten to the draft. They get to the draft and they draft the left tackle. But they didn't draft the right tackle. So they still don't have a right tackle. And then I started to get really nervous. You know, they passed on Jermaine Illuminor. They passed on Jonah Williams. They passed on, again, these guys aren't great, but they at least have started in the NFL at tackle and, you know, are better and more reliable than PT. Now the draft's passed. So free agency in the draft, it's really the only way you can get any players. So now the draft's passed. So now you go into OTAs. And at the time, Brian Callahan said, you know, we think that Nicholas Petit-Frere and Jalen Duncan have the traits that could make them good tackles. Okay. Even said at the time, you know, if they don't, you know, we'll have to make a move, you know, one way or another, but we'll figure it out. Well, again, I'm like, people are saying, we're going to be so improved this year. I think we're going to make the playoffs. I think we're going to be. And I'm like, you still don't have a right tackle. Jared Nicholas Petit-Frere, he'll show you, he'll. And now Derek is sitting here as we're in August, and he's like, I feel a lot of the hoping and praying. They signed Jamal Adams, and Jamal Adams had his press conference and was like, I'm finally healthy. Praise the Lord. And yet Jamal Adams doesn't practice anymore. Saw Jamal Adams today on the sideline. I was like, is that a coach? Oh, no, that's Jamal Adams. That's where he doesn't practice because they're managing a 28-year-old to get him to the season. And that's the problem with it'll be fine season. And I said this at the time. I said it in March. I said it in May. I said it in the spring. I go, you're not mad about it now because the season's far away, but don't come crying to me in week six when it's like we don't have a right tackle. And as of right now, you have a right tackle. If you hope and pray that you have a right tackle, as opposed to, you know, actually having a right tackle. 615-737-1025. Texter says, Jared, how has J.C. Latham looks so far. I think J.C. Latham's looked fine. I think J.C. Latham has looked like, if in any given year you had the seventh overall pick and used it on a left tackle, he's looked like that, where there are still some mistakes that are made, and sometimes he gets beat, got beat by Simmons 2 days ago, and it ended up being a quarterback pressure or sack or what have you. But he looks the part of a potential franchise left tackle. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he can sit down in the one-on-ones. You know, I think that big picture, I think Latham will be fine. By the way, the same guy texted in at 8:22 this morning and said, how can the 49ers be running into the money issues? Hasn't Jared told them the cap is fake? The cap is fake. The money's not. And Brandon Ayuk wants 35. Apparently, Brandon Ayuk was offered the second highest contract outside of Justin Jefferson. So the highest outside of Justin Jefferson from the Patriots and turned it down. So I think it's hey, we know we're going to have to pay our quarterback $56 million a year next year, and we're already paying all these other guys. And so when it comes to Ayuk, they can keep him, and they've tried to extend him. He just wants too much money. And now he apparently doesn't want the Browns money, and the Browns are spending more money on their team than the Niners. He doesn't want the Browns money. He doesn't want the Patriots money. Apparently he only wants the Steelers money, but he wants a significant amount of money when it comes to the Steelers. Mike says, I believe everybody in the Nashville media and the national media thinks that Levis will be replaced before the end of the year. I don't think anybody in the Nashville media thinks that Will Levis will be replaced by the end of the year. I certainly don't think Will Levis will be replaced by the end of the year. I think Will Levis is entering this year the same way Sam Howell entered last year with Washington. Now, Washington maybe treated it a little bit differently, because in their case, when it came to the Commanders, they were selling the team and a new owner was buying it in the middle of the season. And I think everybody there knew that, hey, the new owner's going to come in. And then once the new owner officially takes possession of the team, he's going to fire the general manager and fire the coach. And he has since fired the general manager and fired the coach, and the team president is transitioning out, and it's his operation. Well, people want to be able to pick their own quarterback as well. So when it came to a potential trade for a quarterback or signing a quarterback, you know, something like that, it seems kind of like the edict from above was, no, we want to let the next regime pick the quarterback. But they had drafted Sam Howell the year before and said, no, Sam Howell's going to be our guy. And we had talked about them a lot when it came to the draft. If the Titans didn't go quarterback at 11, who else was going to go quarterback in that draft? And Washington and the Raiders and Atlanta. And there were a lot of teams that came up that ended up not going quarterback. So I say this because Sam Howell got a fair shake last year, and I thought for the most part he was fine. Turned the ball over a little bit too much, but other than that, you know, they didn't win, but it was almost like Sam Howell had to win or else they were going to end up in the position they were in and they were going to draft Jaden Daniels. And I feel like the Titans are kind of in a similar spot, which is Levis is going to get the chance this year. And if Levis does not work out well, if it does not go well, then next year they'll have a new quarterback. But I don't think you'll be seeing Mason Rudolph start for the Titans minus an injury this upcoming season. The national media, I don't know what the national media thinks. I would say for the most part, they're in a wait and see mode with Levis as well. My thing is this. If you can't block, you can't win. And if you can't block, you're setting the young quarterback up for failure. And I just hope the Titans understand that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Ian has informed me that my rant in the last hour on Caleb Williams owning a purse and displaying it in the Hard Knocks episode has been requested by our former boss, Ryan Porth, in Chicago, which means it's probably getting played in Chicago. that I don't think you can play quarterback. I cannot take a quarterback seriously in the NFL if he's got a purse. I can't do it. I cannot take a quarterback seriously. Maybe Caleb Williams will drop, you know, 400 yards on the Titans, but I cannot take it seriously. So, Ian, in case they play this in Chicago and I get canceled before tomorrow's show,
okay,
just know that it's been a great 9 years working with you.
Same to you.
So we are live out at First Horizon Park, and I want to read a text, and I want to talk about what's about to happen, all in the spirit of what today is. Today would be the GM Floyd Reese's 76th birthday. And if you're new to the show, then I'm sure you've probably picked up on it by now because I talk about him so much. But Floyd Reese, Titans Ring of Honor, which is their team Hall of Fame, general manager, franchise record for the most wins, you know, was the general manager when they went to the Super Bowl. He was our co-host here. It's crazy to think that we were together for 4.5 football seasons. And this year will mark the 4th football season that we've done without. And it's crazy how fast all this time flies and everything else. But a texter into the text line says, can you please just put the word good in front of right tackle every time you say that we don't have a right tackle? We did not have a single person on payroll that played right tackle when the GM made that comment to you. We now have several right tackles on payroll. Are they good? That can be debated. No, it cannot. John Ojukwu's already with the third team, and Jalen Duncan stinks. Whether we have a right tackle is not up for debate. It will help you have more respect from the community. Let me tell you the right tackle story. In 2015, I had joined the radio station fresh from Louisville, Kentucky. Floyd Reese had joined it fresh from his couch. And we started on, I think he started on like April 13th, and I started April 20th. And about a week later, I wasn't even doing afternoons at the time, but George Plaster was on vacation. Willie Donick was with the Predators in Chicago, and I was doing the afternoon show with Floyd. Didn't know him very well, and I said, Floyd, just to make small talk, Titans going to be any good this year? And he said, we don't have a right tackle. And I said, that's pretty important, huh? He goes, right tackle? And that was the end of it. And for the last 3 years, the Titans have really porked around with not having a right tackle. And right now, I've been at practice the last couple of days. They don't have a right tackle. Maybe PT becomes one, but they don't have a right tackle. So don't tell me what the story was or what it meant or what the difference between, because I was there. The second thing that the GM said to me that has stuck with me for the last 9 years was early in my tenure, I was throwing out the first pitch at First Horizon Park, and he looked at me right before he left for the day, and he said, don't you dare. And there was a little bit more colorful choice words. He said, don't you dare let that ball hit that ground. And I said, you know what? He's right. And I made sure it didn't hit the ground. I ended up throwing a strike. But when I stood up there on the mound, I was like, this ball is not hitting that dirt. And today, when I throw out the first pitch here at First Horizon Park, I can promise you one thing. It may not be a strike. It may not be over the plate. It may be over the catcher's head. But I can promise you one thing. On the GM's birthday, I would never let him down and bounce the ball. I would never, ever, ever, ever bounce the baseball. We'll have the full results of what happens tonight, tomorrow. We will get excited for that. Plus, we got the preseason starting on Saturday. One more show to go, and then we got preseason football. Stillman and Company, happy heavenly birthday. 76 years old to our friend, the GM, Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.